T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Happy for it.
We're here.
Not to brag or anything, but weekend starts for me in about 50 minutes. Feeling pretty good about that. Another hour together here on KMOX, and the Dine and Dash dater was caught. What a punk. And Larry Gifford is going to be joining us at about 2:35-ish when life gives you Parkinson's. Imagine you're 45 years old and you go to the doctor, something's wrong, and you find out you have Parkinson's. We're going to hear his story coming up. He's a radio veteran, and it was a real... I enjoyed talking to him about this, and he's documenting the whole process, which you'll be able to hear about as well. We keep the thing flexible, this whole Overnight America game that we play every night. We want you to have the ability to bring up the things that you didn't have a chance to bring up in the past week. So, 314-436-7900. Or 800-925-1120 is the number. There is a alien conspiracy out there. Oh, you know I like these. You know I don't believe in aliens. I wish aliens existed. It would be fun if aliens existed. It would be better that we never have an alien visit. Because you know what would happen, right? We'd be treated like guinea pigs. We don't want that. I don't want to be treated like a human zoo. So we are going to just come with the assumption that aliens don't exist unless you believe them, and then things like this are very exciting. So reports that a Black Hawk helicopter and federal agents swooped in and evacuated a remote part of a New Mexico building. It's a prominent solar observatory, has some corners of the internet predictably saying that it's an alien cover-up. This is CNET reporting this, an alien cover-up. Ooh, the Black Hawk helicopters... You can't have a good conspiracy unless a Black Hawk helicopter is involved. They're always there, on the spot, Men in Black style. So FBI agents showed up to the Sunspot Solar Observatory in a tiny New Mexico. Hey, that last story about the vampire facial with them getting the blood injected into their face because they thought it made them look better. Yeah, New Mexico. How about that? Coincidence? Yeah, probably. But on Friday, they shut down the facility, evacuated the local area, and when the FBI comes in with the Black Hawk helicopters, what did they see? What happened? What did they learn? Why are the people there? Are they kept in the quiet space until they could be brainwashed to forget what happened? Do they have one of those Men in Black sticks where they press a button and a little red flash? And then you forget everything that just happened? 5 days later, the observatory's website confirms the entire facility is closed to both staff and public until further notice. The Association of Universities for Research and Astronomy, who manages the facility, is addressing a security issue. Its temporary evacuation of the facility will open up as soon as possible. What did they see? To you, does this sound like an alien cover-up? I don't know. This is highly suspicious, if any of this actually happened. But highly suspicious. Why? What would they go crazy for that the government would swoop in so quickly and evacuate? Meanwhile, in the vacuum created by the lack of an official explanation, plenty of people on YouTube and social media and tabloids have stepped in and suggested that the evacuation could be part of a government effort to cover up the discovery of aliens or maybe a possible solar flare or something else, extraplanetary. Extraplanetary. I think there was a song by the Beastie Boys that had something like that. Extraplanetary. Intergalactic. Well, a solar flare is really scary. If you don't know much about solar flares, you know, it's pretty common for the sun to have these, but there's these big solar flares that come about once every 100 years, and we're overdue for one. And these solar flares are nasty. So the sun has these solar flares, and if you've ever seen a video of the sun, you know you got this big glowing ball, but it also has what looks like all of these things just like seeping out of it. So you get these like waves of fire and gas and all of these things going around. But these solar flares are really nasty because once they go out and they direct their way towards the Earth, when it passes through, we have a magnetic field that can, for the most part, deflect a lot of these things. But when they're really big and it hits in and the solar flare hits, it kills electronics. I mean, not just kills electronics, it kills electronics. And things like our power grid. Think about Puerto Rico and the issues that they had with the hurricane there last year and how it completely crippled their power grid. Imagine that, but the United States of America, just the entire power grid going out, susceptible to these solar flares. These are a big deal and scary. Not trying to go all conspiracy theorist on you. I'm not trying to pull out the tinfoil cap, but these things are major, major problems that the government doesn't know how to fix or doesn't know how to combat or protect ourselves from. It's from the sun. How do you stop that? So a lot that they're trying to figure out there. Maybe they found something like that, and that's very scary. Maybe they found aliens, or maybe it was nothing at all. The observatory was originally built by the military in 1947 when it realized the sun could interfere with radio communications. Hopefully, it isn't now in the process of unwillingly transferring alien or foreign spies back and forth. What if it's like a lighthouse for aliens? Ooh, it sounds like it would be an awesome story to put out there, a fictional story. Have you heard about this Dine and Dasher dude over in California? He lures women in and then leaves them with the bill. Like he'll say, order anything you want. He'll order really expensive things and he'll say, hey, I gotta go to the bathroom and not come back. And these poor women are sitting there like, this guy asked me out on a date and then ran. Very embarrassing. Well, they caught the guy. He's in some trouble. Have you ever had an experience on a date, a first date that went terribly wrong? I would love to hear what happened to you. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Love to hear some of these first date stories. These are fun. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Yeah, a little bit more time together. In about 15 minutes, we're going to be joined with Larry Gifford, a radio veteran. When life gives you Parkinson's, and we'll check in one more time with AccuWeather towards the end of the hour. Brian Thompson joining us again. Always getting updates from him. And yeah, things are just getting progressively worse with more rainwaters, more disasters you hear coming down in the news. And we'll continue to track that all through the morning and Total Information AM as well. We still have upwards of 180,000 without power right now, and it's only going to get worse. So has anyone have a awesome first date story, or how about a terrible first date story? Could go either way. You don't know what's going to happen. You get excited. Doesn't anyone, that thrill of going on a first date, you're living high, you're feeling good, you go out and you try your best, but you don't know if you're going to connect with the person. And then the worst thing is one person connects and the other one doesn't. So someone's going to be disappointed. Best case scenario, you both like each other. Worst case scenario, one likes you, one doesn't. The medium is, hey, you both don't like each other and you go your way. Hey, how about that? But what happens when you meet up with a date at a restaurant and they dine and dash? Not the couple, but the person, the guy, the dine and dash dater is facing years in prison for allegedly forcing a string of first dates to pay their expensive meals by sneaking out of these upscale restaurants. What a punk. Here's the Inside Edition story.
Do you have anything to say to these women?
Caught on camera, it's the guy known as the notorious Dine and Dash serial dater.
You've been dining and dashing with women. You've been running out on the check.
Wow, this really happened to me?
More than 20 women say they met Paul Gonzalez on different dating websites. Well, on their first date, they were stunned when Gonzalez allegedly devoured his steak dinner, then sneaked out, sticking them with the bill.
Ooh, of course you would order steak. He's going to force them to pay for it. How awkward is it? You're sitting there and you're waiting for the guy to come back. How long do you wait before you realize the guy ditched you? Is it 10 minutes? 15, 20 minutes? Ooh. And then they go check the bathroom. Oh, I'm sorry, there's no one in there. And then what do you do? You're thinking like, oh, I can't believe this guy just ordered a $40 steak, and we slammed some wine, and he took all of these things. Oh, and he got an appetizer, too. And dessert! It's got to be a little scary. You got any terrible first date stories? Something that happened to you? 314-436-7900. Appearing in court in Pasadena for a preliminary hearing, Mr. Gonzalez, 45 years old, listened as women testified about their experience of the date and dash guy.
I was just in shock that anybody would do this.
You're, you know, embarrassed, kind of ashamed.
For weeks, he's been keeping a low profile.
But not anymore.
Hide from Inside Edition.
Yeah, you can't hide from Inside Edition. You know those housewives, they're sitting watching Inside Edition, yelling and screaming at the screen. Yeah, you get them. You get them. Inside Edition plays on one of our screens here every once in a while. I'll catch it replaying on one of the local networks. I forgot what network airs it, but I get my fair share of infomercials and, you know, kind of like cheesy pop culture talk show that they air out of Atlanta or whatever it is. And then after that, it's either Larry King trying to sell you something or Dick Van Dyke every once in a while is pretty nice. But we got the storm coverage that's going on right now, watching all kinds of different storm networks roll through. We're watching the Weather Channel. We're watching AccuWeather and even CNN, who seems to have I don't think that's an infomercial. I think they're showing the Flex Tape dude on there. But tonight's a little bit less typical.
Here's Jim Murray.
We found Paul Gonzalez having coffee at this Starbucks in Pasadena.
So obviously we had to pull over and harass him, which they should. This guy, Paul Gonzalez, 45 years old, dying and dashing on all these women after ordering. He was even telling them, hey, get whatever you want.
Just half a block from a restaurant where he allegedly pulled one of his latest dine and dash scams.
Oh my God. That is him.
We showed the video to Carol Meredith, who says Gonzalez ordered not one, but two dinners when they met for their first date in April.
He ordered two dinners? Oh, my. What kind of does that say about you? You get a first date, and the dude orders two dinners. And guys, if you take a girl out for a first date, and she orders two dinners, what are you thinking to yourself? You're like, oh, I don't know if this is going to work. It's what kind of expectations? She's someone that wants a lot. Like, she's probably going to expect I buy stuff for her all the time. She's so into the gifts. She's just testing me to see if I'll spend money on her. And really, guys, in the first date, you're probably wanting to do whatever you can to make a good first impression. So you roll with it. You don't think much about it. But then you're thinking in your head, I wonder if this could be the only time we ever see each other.
You've been going to local restaurants with women that you meet online. I've been leaving them with a check. Don't you feel bad about that? Do you have?
I don't know who you are. Hopefully this won't happen.
I don't know who you are. Doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter who I am. What do you got to say to all these women, you know?
And to any other women. And I just wanted to give you guys a big shout out for capturing this loser.
Why don't you apologize to these women?
I like how he says it. Loser.
Loser.
Loser. That's exactly what it is. How embarrassing if you're the person that's stuck inside of that restaurant.
Loser.
I know. I would not feel too comfortable going up to the wait staff and management and saying, I can't believe you just dined and dashed me. You're probably embarrassed and you're thinking, I don't want anyone to find out about this. One person said, I remember he was talking really fast and eating really fast and then said his youngest son was calling him. She claimed that Mr. Gonzalez ordered two glasses of wine within 15 minutes of each other. After getting up, she alleges he never returned. What kind of monster does this? I wouldn't use the term monster. You know, he's a jerk face. That, you know, that's an appropriate way to categorize him. Punk, perhaps. Someone that needs to be called out and get his face out there. I like that it's Inside Edition. Oh, boy, the hard-hitting news of Inside Edition. You got any of those crazy stories that happened to you on a first date? 314-436-7900. I do have one. It wasn't even a first date. I did have this one story. So this was back when I was in Ohio. And there was someone that worked at the radio station I worked at was like really trying to help me find a date for something. I can't remember what it was. So there was a comedy club thing that the radio station would go to on the first night. And I remember going to it, and this person randomly, the person I worked with, said, hey, I found someone. I brought her today to meet you at the comedy club. And it was kind of really embarrassing because the radio station always sat up front in this comedy club, and the comic figured out, like, oh, it's a first date situation, and then made fun of me for about 15 minutes because that was easy material. It was terrible. Terrible. this was a long time ago. Ultimately, yeah, that didn't work out. That's not my wife. Yeah, so it's not my wife. Now, that would have been, well, yeah, and then we got married late. No, it wasn't, there's no good ending to that one, other than I got made fun of comics for 15 minutes. And then we always did this deal where the comics would come to our radio stations the next morning, because then they would promote their weekend shows at this comedy club. And I brought them in. I said, hey, I was the guy you made fun of for 15 minutes. Ooh, awkward. Yeah, those things happen. Hopefully you're not a dining dasher. You're not someone that has listened to this and said, ooh, that's a great idea. I can con all these women into buying me steak dinners. So he's facing years in prison. I don't know if he'll see prison time for this. I wouldn't call him a monster. I call him a jerk. Maybe he just has to pay restitution to these women. And next thing you know, let's say there's 10 women or whatever it was that were, yeah, left 10 women in these hefty restaurant bills. You know, how about $1,000 a woman? 10 grand fine. Call it a day. He can handle that. Yeah, might as well. Show him. No. Make it 5 grand. Up it to 5 grand. Make it even better. Show him that this embarrassment's not worth it all. These poor women, they're out there trying to find a date. They're in a digital world. They're out there swiping. They're out there on all these sites, and they finally think they found a gentleman. Takes them to a high-end place. Ooh, look at this guy. What if you're out and about and you see this guy again sitting at a table with another woman? Do you go up immediately and warn her, hey, this is a dine and dasher? Do you like go and break it up? Yeah, I feel like you're obligated to confront that table as fast as possible. Totally understand that sort of thing. In a couple of minutes, we're going to be joined by Larry Gifford, radio veteran. And a little bit later, too, we're going to join one last time with Brian Thompson from AccuWeather, get one last update of how this whole thing is tracking, the one last hurricane update. And then we're going to adjourn for the night, and you'll get more updates as it gets onto shore in the Carolinas when Total Information AM picks back up at 5 o'clock. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Brian Thompson from AccuWeather. One last update with him coming up in just a couple of minutes. But first, joining us now is a radio veteran, someone that I admired. I always saw his work, and he was someone that worked with all kinds of great radio stations. He's up in Vancouver now. He has a great podcast that I listen to called the Radio Stuff Podcast, but has a brand new one that just launched called When Life Gives You Parkinson's. Larry Gifford, thank you for coming on to Overnight America.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
That was the name of your podcast just a couple of months ago in April. You put out episode 157 of your Radio Stuff podcast, where it was you describing what it was like to gradually learn that you had Parkinson's, and what a strange thing that was to have that revelation. You started having these changes in your body, and I want to learn more about that when it all started. Can we kind of talk about that?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I was diagnosed officially last August in 2017, but I've been having symptoms for probably 9 years. It started with my walk. We noticed it when my wife and I would go hiking in the woods or whatever, and she'd want a peaceful, serene hike, you know, romantic. And here I am clomping through the woods, go clomp, 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 because my right foot would drag behind the rest of my body, and I'd have to clomp it forward. And we just thought I was overweight or out of shape or whatever. We kind of wrote it off. And then over the course of time, I lost my sense of smell, which I've since learned is a telltale sign of Parkinson's. I began to lose my balance and my sense of my spatial relations. So I'd bump into desks and door frames and, you know, just sort of wobbling around. And then I got the tremor. And so my right hand and my right leg started tremoring, and I couldn't control it. And got scared and said, I guess I probably ought to go to a doctor.
Is this something your son noticed first?
Well, I was handing him a glass of water over the couch, and he goes, Dad, why's your hand shaking? And I go, I don't know.
After the course of so many years, when did the shake start?
The shake started in January of 2017. So Immediately went to the doctor, began to see a neurologist. They first sent me to an MS specialist. The good news was I didn't have MS, but he says, I think you have Parkinson's, but I can't diagnose you. So they sent me to a Parkinson's specialist. And that neurologist looked at all my my collection of symptoms that I'd kind of written off as just sort of individual things that have happened as you age.
Yeah.
He goes, all these things, these are Parkinsonisms, and you've got Parkinson's.
How old were you when you found out?
45.
45 years old. Yeah, that's interesting. Was it after the fact you started piecing some of the symptoms together, the things that you noticed over the years, or was there ever a red flag before that, start of 2017?
No, there was never any, like, I never thought I had anything like a disease or... I just thought I was getting older. I just thought these were just things that you deal with as you age, you know, and I'd never been 45 before. Maybe this is what it feels like, you know.
When life gives you Parkinson's, you decided to make a podcast out of this to talk about your experiences, some of your struggles. What can people expect from that podcast?
Well, so it's a sort of a documentary style podcast. It's, you're following me through my journey. So, you know, exercise is one of the most important things you can do when you have Parkinson's, because it can stave off the development of some of the symptoms. So you'll travel with me to boxing class and meet some of the people I meet, or you travel with me to, so I try CrossFit, which, you know, you know, 290 pounds and 6 feet tall. CrossFit's not really my thing, but you know, I'm trying to find my exercise. The first episode, which was released this week, is about my diagnosis and how that impacts my family. So you'll meet my wife and my son and some of my colleagues and some of the people I've met along the way. And so it's really a personal journey that allows us then to dive deeper into some of the topics with experts, neurologists, researchers. I'm now part of a worldwide genome study to see if there's a genetic connection to my Parkinson's. So we talked to some gene hunters about what that means and what they're finding.
Larry Gifford, our guest, When Life Gives You Parkinson's, which is the podcast for you to check out, the first episode out now. So what has that been like for your family life? How has that changed the way you interact with your wife and kids?
Well, so I have a 9-year-old son, and I've been married 19 years. So when we got married 19 years ago and we said, you know, in sickness and in health, I think those are words you say, and you don't know, how soon you'll have to live up to them. And so there's been some conversations, and my wife's been nothing but supportive and loving, and she's there for me along the way. But, you know, for me, as the guy who's sick, you know, I don't want to be a burden to them. And so I think about that sometimes, about how this is a degenerative brain disease with no cure. And so what they see today is probably the best I'll be ever. And it's scary.
Yeah.
With my son, he's 9 years old. He's very active. He likes to do things. We used to wrestle a lot, and I don't have the balance and or the energy or the wherewithal to keep up with him that much anymore. But every now and again I do. Because every day's different. So you have days where you feel good. So that's when you get all the play in. And then there's days you come home and he goes, "You want to play?" And I go, "I do want to." And he's like, "No, I get it. That's fine." You disappoint him and. It's tough, but we're all just finding our new normal.
Yeah, that's part of it. Have you had to make any adjustments, or will you have to make any adjustments to your home?
I've not made any adjustments to the house yet, but I do have a walking stick now for days where I need help just getting around and staying up straight. And I don't sleep very well these days, so I'm up at 2 or 3 in the morning, and I don't go back to sleep, and that insomnia is one of those things. I've had to adjust, you know, what I do in the morning. I got to do my exercise routine in the morning, and I've got to take pills 4 times a day, 5 times a day.
I feel like if most people are diagnosed with something, they become obsessive with trying to research it as much as they can, and that could be something that works against you, because then you get all the worst case scenarios stuck in your mind. But you're someone that has really looked at the upside, and you really want to help tell this story, and you also want to help build this community so people can learn that there is a great need for research in Parkinson's. So how did you grasp with that to begin with in order to try to keep positive with the diagnosis?
Well, you know, I've always tried to be a positive person and, you know, make the most of every situation. And you know, I've practiced mindfulness and meditation for a few years now, and it's paying off these days where, you know, I can't really worry about what the future holds. And so I just try to live in the moment. Through my trying to figure out what this disease is all about, I was listening to a Michael J. Fox Foundation podcast with Dr. Ray Dorsey. And he was talking about how Parkinson's is becoming a global pandemic. Hmm. You know, the number of people that were diagnosed with Parkinson's 15 years ago has doubled today and will double again in the next 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's 10 million people worldwide have it. There's no cure, and they're not really sure how you get it. So if we're going to find a cure or a cure for everybody's Parkinson's, we need more research. And if we're going to do more research, we need more money. And if we're going to get people to donate money, people with Parkinson's have to tell their stories.
Yeah. And you've been pretty vocal. I see the pictures online. You're going to the local television stations. You're very much participating in the community. In fact, just the step of going forward and doing the podcast by itself is a big thing, too, because you were telling me when you went to go listen, you wanted to hear other people's stories. You had a hard time finding things outside of the medical field.
I did. And so I thought, well, here's an opportunity where I can, you know, I know how to tell stories on the radio. That's what I've done for years and years and years. I'm like, well, that's what I can do to contribute to this community. And then I can meet people and share their stories with others. And it works. I mean, by telling my story, I'm getting connected to people all over the world who are sharing their Parkinson stories with me on and off the podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful. And I love it. And it's letting people own their Parkinson's. It's their life.
Yeah.
It's their disease. And you shouldn't be ashamed of it, and you should tell people about it, because the more people you tell about it, the more attention it brings to the disease and the more help we can get.
Yeah, which is why you're here today. You're able to tell people, and I know there's a lot of people in this community and here in St. Louis and really anywhere that may be listening to this. They could be dealing with it themselves or have a family member or friend. The podcast is called When Life Gives You Parkinson's. Larry Gifford joins us here. And as a radio person, you know, it's a little bit difficult to get into that digital world when it comes to podcasting, trying to find something that's popular. A lot of radio personalities get frustrated because they can't build the same audience they do on the radio as they can on the digital side. However, your Radio Stuff podcast, well known in the industry. I know a lot of people that listen to it. I love it myself, and I go back and listen to episodes I haven't listened to. You have 150 plus on there. You launch When Life Gives You Parkinson's, first podcast you're already charting on iTunes. That's great.
Yeah, pretty cool, huh?
That's amazing. That's awesome. That must have been a thrill to see that up there.
It was. I think it peaked earlier today at 36, ranked 36 in the world.
Yeah.
So very excited about that. And hopefully that continues, and, you know, encourage people to go to Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. You'll find it there.
Yeah.
You can also follow us on social media. We've Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's the same code. It's at Parkinson's Pod.
Mm-hmm. Rumor has it you started this just to get an interview with Michael J. Fox. Is that true?
Well, that would be great. That would be great. Michael is, you know, when people say Parkinson's, that's the mind movie you play. You see Michael J. Fox. And that movement that you see Michael J. Fox doing, and I didn't know this. You know, people go, oh, that's Parkinson's. That's actually not a Parkinson's symptom, that rollicking move that he makes with his shoulders and arms. That's a reaction to the drugs, levodopa, carbidopa. Which is the gold standard drug, but the more you take of it, the more chance you have of getting what they call dyskinesia. Mm. And so that's actually a reaction to the drugs that are making him better from Parkinson's, which is crazy.
So that is a byproduct of getting better, trying to at least, or trying to find medication for Parkinson's.
Right, and the medication for Parkinson's, it's great. I mean, compared to what they had, which was nothing, it's fantastic, and it's really helped control my tremors. But this is a drug that was designed in the 1950s and became widely used in the late 60s. And there's not been a lot of, I mean, there's been some other things that come along, but this is still just the best we've got. Mm-hmm. So research is badly needed.
Host of When Life Gives You Parkinson's, radio veteran Larry Gifford, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story here on KMOX.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
And he joins us on the Quiver River Electric guest line. And one last time with AccuWeather, Brian Thompson coming up in tracking this hurricane, if there's any changes there or what to expect next on Overnight America, KMOX. Joining us one last time for the night, Brian Thompson, AccuWeather. Thanks for coming on again to KMOX.
No problem.
All right, so Has there, I know we just talked not that long ago. It doesn't seem like there's probably a big shift in things, but I want to go over one more time some of the bigger concerns you have with this hurricane as it approaches landfall. We're just a couple hours away before that hits.
Yeah, we've already been seeing the high storm surge, already been some areas that have been over 10 feet as far as the storm surge goes. Been seeing some reports of a need for water rescues around New Bern, North Carolina, so we're already starting to see that. So there have already been some hurricane force wind gusts in some places. The storm has not moved a whole lot. The National Hurricane Center is tracking the storm now every hour, putting a position on it now that we're getting close to landfall. But the storm's still about 35 miles east of Wilmington, North Carolina. It's moving toward the west-northwest at about 6 miles per hour. So landfall will be later this morning, probably around 8 or 9 o'clock.
Yeah, and still hundreds of thousands of people losing power over something like this. And there was even one person, I was looking on a website, New Observer, there was a meteorologist that said that there's, 10 trillion gallons of water could be dumped on North Carolina during the storm. That's pretty crazy. That's a ton of water.
That is a ton of water. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of rain over a pretty wide area. The worst of it will be pretty close to the coast where they're seeing heavy rain now. Some places could easily pick up 30 or 40 inches of rain over the next couple of days, as this just is not moving very quickly. Yeah. And that's what we saw with Harvey last year, and we're going to see again this time around.
So help me visualize this, where it gets all this water from. So it just sucks up a lot of water as it goes through the ocean, and then when it goes over, it's done sucking up, and it just starts dumping at that point?
Yeah, it kind of absorbs all of this moisture, and then when it gets inland, it basically brings the tropics with it, if that makes sense. It kind of brings some very tropical air, because there's so much moisture in the atmosphere over a tropical system. So it kind of brings that inland and kind of deposits that heavier rain.
How is that possible to have all that? Because they're talking about 10 trillion gallons, to have that up in the air at any given time. But then you see these maps online where they'll overlap like Indiana and Ohio together, and it shows you just how large these storms actually are. It's unbelievable how big this thing is.
Yeah, and that a lot of times when the storms get a little farther north in latitude, they do get a little bit bigger. And you'll notice sometimes the cloud shields get really stretched, but this one is a pretty big storm. So even though it has been weakening over the last couple of days as far as top sustained winds go, it's actually been getting bigger. So sometimes that just kind of spreads the energy out and winds up impacting more people than what a smaller, stronger storm would do.
Yeah, Brian Thompson, AccuWeather, joining us here on KMOX. Was it the FEMA guy yesterday or NOAA weather guy that used the term Mike Tyson punch when it comes to this? What do you think of terms like that, trying to explain what's going on?
I don't mind it. The problem is, I think a lot of times, especially the officials see that people in certain areas aren't leaving, aren't evacuating, aren't taking the warning seriously. They're trying to basically encourage people in any way they can to get off of, especially these coastal areas that are most susceptible to the storm surge. So you got to reach deep into the bag of tricks sometimes to help get these people out.
That's all it takes. You can hear something like that. But, you know, it's a good headline-grabbing tactic, too.
So, it is. Yeah.
I keep watching this, and it's just over and over and over and over. How do you not get hypnotized watching these radars of the same thing over and over again?
It's hard because you're looking for subtle changes sometimes, yesterday. During the evening hours, it had kind of become less organized, and then all of a sudden there was a blow up of thunderstorms near the center. So it started to, it really didn't strengthen as far as the winds go, but it got better organized again. So with tropical systems, they're one of the more unpredictable things that we have to forecast and track, especially when they're moving this slow. They can kind of meander and dance around a little bit and make some unexpected movements. Now, in this case, it's not going to make too big of a difference at this point. It's just going to bring a lot of rain to a lot of areas over the next several days.
Yeah. This might be a stupid question, but is it even possible for a hurricane this size to just unexpectedly break up and it's nowhere, it doesn't even really get that far inland?
Not really. It looks like, given how organized it still is, it's got a pretty good structure right now. So it should maintain its structure pretty well as it moves off to the west. It will start to become more unraveled over the next couple of days. It won't look like it does now with a kind of a well-defined, hard to tell whether there's still an eye. It looks like there is. But it will become less organized, but there's still going to be the rain just kind of becomes more spread out. It's not as organized.
Yeah. I heard the guy from Noah mention rain band, and that's a, I like that term. Would you consider possibly making a line of sunglasses named Rain Band specifically for weatherman?
I like that.
It could work something like that.
Yeah.
All right. So really, it's just let's hope for the best. The projections are showing here in the next couple hours because of how slow this thing is moving. Finally making its way inland, and let's hope for not too much devastation.
Let's hope for the best. Let's hope the rain bands get spread out a little more and don't sit over the same spots and dump these historic amounts of rain.
Yeah, I wouldn't sleep on that rain band trademark. I would go and try to get that.
Well, you better get to the patent office.
Brian Thompson, AccuWeather, thank you so much for updating us here on Overnight America.
No problem.
Yeah, he's good. They're very good. All right, that about does it here for Overnight America. We only got a couple more minutes left in. I'm looking forward to going to the balloon races and the balloon glow later tonight, Friday night. Looks like the weather's going to be really nice for it, so I'm super excited for that. I know that there's going to be a lot of people out there, and everyone warned me, hey, traffic is going to be tough, and, you know, you're going to have to fight for parking and all of this. I just can't wait. I think my kid's going to love it, too. He's going to be out past his bedtime. He's just going to be thrilled to do something like that together. But just to sit back, relax on a nice night and watch that, I can't wait. More and more power outages being reported over in the Carolinas. More people and stories about people getting stranded in different buildings. And it really hurts when there's been days and days and days of warning to get out of there and people weren't getting out. And then you have stories like this, too. This is from ABC 13 in Virginia.
To give you an example, just up until a short time ago, water covered both of these piers. You could barely see the top of the wood. That's already stressful. Now, on top of that, you also have to worry about scams.
Of course. There's people out there trying to take advantage of those that are in a time of need. And you don't even have to be someone that's stuck into an area that you should have been evacuated from and you're too stubborn to leave or whatever it is. No, you can just be someone that is around the area. You don't have to leave, and scammers still show up trying to do their thing. Terrible.
Started with a voicemail
that wanted to confirm that we had evacuated, that all residents living in Zone A had evacuated.
The message asked for personal information for a reason that would pique the interest of anyone considering evacuating in a hurricane.
So that they could reimburse evacuation costs.
Yeah.
But for Kira Cook, the message raised something else.
I don't live in Zone A, so that was the first red flag.
Yep. And then you have there's so many different scams that happen whenever there is a disaster and there's insurance money that could be had. You find a lot of these temporary vehicles coming around town without estate plates. They got these magnets or things on the side and they want money up front. And then you never see them again, over and over and over again. Watch out for these scams. I don't think that someone showing up and trying to force evacuations, they say this later in the ABC 13 story. There's people over there that were trying to force evacuation, then charge you for the services of doing that. Unbelievable, even when you're not in those areas. Okay, that does it. Enjoy your weekend. If you want to reach out to me in the meantime, ryan.recker at kmox.com or at ryanrecker on Twitter. We'll see you again Sunday night. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.